Did supervisors meeting? March 13, 2018. And I have a change to the agenda. And it pertains to item F. We have to take that off the agenda because I called our labor attorney up. And if we extend our contract with the union, that is the same as negotiating if we vote on this. And the Senate File 291 says that we cannot negotiate insurances with the union. We can still with the sheriff's department and them, but not with with workers, so. Our labor attorney told us not to vote on this, so that's why we're taking it off to the end. Okay, any other changes?
I have none.
I have none.
Okay. We'll meet with department head and elected officials. Sheriff Johnson.
Well, I would say that our department's been very busy over the last couple of days. Handed to my detectives and my patrol staff for some outstanding police work they've been doing, working late night hours and making some real good arrests on some burglars and thieves we have in the county. So very happy with all of that, and we continue to work hard and make a lot of arrests and investigations ongoing.
I was talking to one of their recipients of Gitmer out, and yesterday, and he told me how they caught him, and I think that's really above and beyond the call of duty what they did.
Yeah, it's what we do, and I know that the guys don't get enough credit for what they do, but they really do work hard, and
yep.
There were some really late night hours involved in that, and so. You know, I'm very proud of them. Hats off to them for what they do every day, and it does make a difference out there. But it is a problem out, you know, all over the county, is the stealing and the thieving and the burglarizing that's going on. So everybody needs to really keep an eye out for anything that's unusual in the neighborhood, and make sure that you give us a call.
Thank you. Lisa, how's the recorder's office?
We're doing well. We're keeping busy. I really don't have anything to report today.
Thank you. Janelle, Treasurer's office?
I would say the same thing. We are keeping busy and don't have anything new to report.
Right down the back. Jack, how's the maintenance doing?
Pretty much the same. Busy all the time. Rodney went to some training today. That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's busy.
Gina, how's IT doing?
Good morning. Busy, just as everybody else is. We are going to be attending, I've got Colin up in Des Moines right now. He's attending drone training. It's the 107 training that's required to operate drones. And Jeff White from the Sheriff's Office went in my place today. So they'll be getting trained to operate drones. And I know they're working with Gina Harden at the EMA on a possible grant for purchasing one of those. We are going to be holding quite a bit of training this week. I sit on the education committee for ICIT and several training classes up there this week. One of them I urge all of you to attend. It'll be Thursday from 1:30 to 3. The Ombudsman's Office, IPIB, and IPIRB will be there to discuss open meetings, open records, Freedom of Information Act, and whistleblower laws. So I urge all of you to go to that.
Thank you. Zach, how's regional planning?
Yeah, things are going well. Each week seems to go a little bit better than the week before, I think, as we're learning a lot of new things. I feel usually better about what I've been telling people as each week goes by and I learn more things. So learn a lot, get a lot of phone calls, a lot of subdivisions that people are inquiring about. So we'll definitely have one, I think, on the agenda next week. Continue to do those. Last week we didn't have our first recording too on a subdivision, so that was another new step for us. So it went pretty smooth. Went very, very smooth actually. So just continue to field phone calls and continue to learn our ordinances, so things are going well.
Thank you.
Yep.
How's the jail doing?
Everything's going pretty good. Our population's right around 77, I think, this morning. Got our new inmate phone system up and going. There's still some minor hiccups in that, but everything's running pretty smooth, so should be a pretty good revenue stream coming up shortly.
I might add on there, Doug went down and run the mutton busting program for snowball for him.
Right.
All them little kids.
No, I was too scared to get on one of those.
I didn't know you were a shepherd.
Yep.
He just smelled like it.
I definitely smelled like it.
Ken, how's the CDC doing, or CDS doing?
Yes, good morning. It's going well, very busy. Had a lot of phone calls lately from integrated health homes, you know, trying to get services lined up for people. Had good training on C3 de-escalation last week, where we got this grant to train some people in our region on C3 de-escalation, and then they've become trainers, and they're training others now. So how to help people in crisis and get calmed down and so that we can serve them well. So that was a really good training. So.
Yeah. Hi, Annika. I couldn't
Hello.
Tell. I couldn't tell who was back there. Chris, how's the conservation?
Good. Back the weather forecast down for the nice weekend, but we are going to go ahead and turn the water on this week. I think we're hopefully past the long freezing times, and we already have people calling our office saying they're planning on coming up camping this weekend. So
going to get that scrape.
We're getting ready, but we'll get there. What's that?
You gonna bring me that picture?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, once, and I don't know that we'll turn the shower house on just yet. We want to get the water turned on the main lines, and then you know, we've got to do some testing there. But yes, we will certainly do it.
Thanks, Mr. Carter. How's the secondary road department?
Good morning. Guys are making headway. Just out blading and rocking today still. Do want to mention a few things. One, I want to give, I guess, props to Sheriff's Office. I was out Sunday evening, and it was the calmest part of the day, so I finished up a controlled burn that I'd been working on and lit up some switchgrass, and I mean, it was all fine. I had water tank and wind was right and everything else, but next thing I knew, I had a deputy pulling into my driveway, and I think he saw everything was fine, but he left, and next thing I know beyond that was he had parked up on the gravel road and walked all the way across my cornfield to come over and just make sure everything was fine. So I thought that was more effort than I would have put into it. So I sent my kid on the four-wheeler to give him a ride back, and maybe he was smart for that, but he wouldn't take the ride. He walked all the way back. And actually, it's a good thing my kid went, because then my dog jumped into his vehicle, I believe, as he left. So it was, I'm sure, an interesting trip for him, being as my dog had found a skunk that day. So anyway, I wanted to say thanks. I wanted to say thanks, because that wasn't, I'm sure, what he had on his radar. There's a lot of those fires that you see going around, and they look pretty bad. So he put the effort into driving on out and taking a look. So
there's been quite a few of those.
Yep. So but anyway, want to mention we did start our contract rock haul today. So they started on Irish, and they'll of course move around the county. It won't take that long. They'll get done and get out depending on rain and everything. But so they started there, and then they'll also be a haul starting up down south of Burlington also next week. Tis the season, but the guys are starting headway on that. And of course, last week we took some bids for the Iowa City Road grading project, and I'm on the agenda just to have those reported. So I'll do that here in a little bit. And we do have a DOT bid coming up here this month too for another big project. So a lot of things going on, and we'll know a lot more of things end up costing over the next couple weeks.
Okay. So. Terry Johnson, how's the auditor's office?
Just fine. We're busy too. I just want to remind everybody candidate filing date is, the ending date is March the 28th, not March the 25th. We aren't here on Sundays. That's what I saw in the newspaper, but I just want to remind everybody it's March the 28th at 5 p.m. And then we are also looking for a new location for Precinct 7 because the church that we use over there is not ADA accessible. So with the regulations, so we have been looking at a new location and we're working with the Burlington School District, and it's about a block out of the precinct, but this precinct does not have very many buildings in it that, you know, would be ADA capable or public or anything like that. And so we're looking at the James Madison Educational Center. Rodney went with me last week to review that. We took our little tablet with all of our ADA requirements and we went through that, and I think it will work very well. So my next step is to get a document from them for use of the building for elections, and then I'll be sending out notices to all of the people that live in that precinct to let them know of the change, and then we'll also be doing a legal ad in the papers too, to let everybody know where the new location is. We have to do that prior to the primary election. So anyway, I'm working on that, and you guys have talked about the rural cleanup, spring rural cleanup, and we have $8,400 in credits on that, so you guys can decide on dates when you want to set that up.
Problem for
and last year, I've got last year's, and we did it through the month of April.
That's what
last
I was.
Year. So anyway, if you guys can think about that and decide on that next week.
I think that would be good. Month of April. How about you, Bob? Let's just go ahead and set it up for the month of April, and then we'll put it in the paper.
Okay.
Next week.
Okay. We'll do that then.
Mr. Carter will appreciate that. I see an account in one of the ditches.
I think it's great for people to take advantage of that.
Okay. Did you call Krista? Oh, where's Krista at?
Hi.
Hello.
What are you riding over there for? I didn't see you.
It was over there. I had to move to this side. So, good morning.
Bob's taking care of you, so
good.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm glad someone is. So health department's busy. We're doing some extra immunization clinics because of kindergarten roundup and those type of things. We had a Board of Health meeting last week, and they had received communication from the Iowa State Health Promotion Club, and so they asked ads to come in and do some education on electronic smoking devices, because the health club had mentioned something about different counties putting in ordinances against electronic smoking devices, and had wanted to share that with the Board of Health, so they wanted to get more information. So Lori Cannon and Deb Patterson from ADS came in and did a presentation.
I've done a lot of reading on these things, and they say they were just as dangerous as the chemicals in, but just as dangerous as smoking a cigarette. Is that what you're getting out of it?
Well, what they had said in the presentation and what they talked about was sometimes people from using those electronic smoking devices get as much, in a very short time, as much nicotine as they get out of a whole pack of cigarettes. And so the other piece behind this is their concern about how it's advertising to young people, because young people are thinking there's no harm in it. However, a lot of that's not regulated, so we really don't know what this long-term effect of this is going to be, and that's part of the reason the Board of Health wanted to look at that.
Well, sorry I missed you.
That's all right.
We're going to have Sherry to move next time.
The attorney's office snuck in on us, too.
Oh, I'll be gone. How about the attorney's office, Cindy? How's it doing?
Well, Amy's wonderful. I don't have anything to report. She's in at the schools doing a career fair day this morning.
Okay. Thank you.
Nothing to report.
Now we can move on, I think. I don't have any correspondence here. Do you gentlemen have any correspondence?
I do not.
Okay. Time for public input session number one. Anybody from public?
Yes.
Yes.
I would just want to respond to the removal of that agenda item. I completely respect the decision to consult with your attorney and too. And my name's Kevin Glendon, sorry, I think I'm supposed to say that. I completely respect the decision to consult with your attorney. I guess I would just add that the changes to Chapter 20 did eliminate insurance from a mandatory area of bargaining for non-peace officer or non-public safety officer bargaining units. However, it does state other areas mutually agreed upon. So I think it's a discretionary area. You guys have the discretion to look at this. And if you decide not to, I completely respect that. However, I don't think it would be, you could consider it as a violation or illegal. It says mutually agreed upon. If you decide not to look at it, I understand that and we can move forward. But you do have the ability to look at it if it was mutually agreed upon by both parties.
I talked to the labor attorney myself, Kevin, and we have both unions in here, CWA and AFME, in this letter. So we're addressing both of these unions on your proposal.
Mm-hmm.
And they definitely told us that it would be a violation of the law. Go ahead and negotiate, and that's why I pulled it off.
Okay.
Nothing, I just doing what they told me to do.
Sure, and I understand that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Moving on to discussion and vote.
Anybody else for public input?
Anybody else for public input? Tom reminded me.
Okay. I thought maybe somebody else.
Okay, moving on to discussion vote, public hearing on FY 2018-19 county budget. Cheryl?
Motion to open public hearing.
Second.
Terry?
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Okay, I'm looking blind at Jim. So.
Okay.
Well, this was all working this morning. So I'm going to quote a survey that NACO put out in 2016. There's 3,069 county governments in the United States that, can you guys hear me okay? That provide frontline support for health, safety, and prosperity of our local communities. County governments devote more than $550 billion annually to provide services to over 130 million, or 310 million people. In the survey, 44% of county officials reduced or eliminated programs because of budget constraints in the county's last fiscal year. 71% of county officials indicated that additional investments in roads and bridges would have the greatest positive impact on their economic development in the county, and 72% of county officials would make road repair a priority if they had additional funding. Mental health and substance abuse were the top two health issues facing counties. Almost 65% of county officials reported a shortage of mental health providers. 84% of county officials responded that substance abuse is the top public health priority, and 72% identified it as the greatest threat to public safety. Over 3,000 counties invest in police and sheriff departments, allocating $35.7 billion on law enforcement. To support state and local court systems, we devote $18.7 billion to county courts and legal services. In addition, counties spend $25.8 billion
on correctional facilities by way of operating 91% of all local jails. Over 11 million people were admitted to county and local jails in 2014. The budget process starts with the taxable valuations. More than 20 years ago, residential property values were rising quickly, so the legislators decided to pass an assessment limitation law, which they called the rollback. The state rollbacks are applied to the assessed valuations. The multi-residential is on a 10-year phase-in with a 3.75% reduction in taxable value per year until assessment year 2022, when it becomes coupled with the residential rollback. So it's 78.75% in 2019. It's 82.5% right now. So commercial, industrial, and railroads remained unchanged at 90%. The residential rollback is 55.6209% compared to 56.939%. So it actually went down 1.3182%. Ag land rollbacks 54.448% compared to 47.4996. So it increased 6.9484%. So that's not good news for the ag property owners. Taxable value growth is limited because the majority of new construction parcels are in TIF districts or receiving tax abatements. Commercial property value increased 9% due to the equalization order. The 3.28% increase in taxable value generates $285,763 from rural areas and $218,996 from urban areas, for a combined total of $504,000. The next step is to estimate the revenues. So due to Senate File 2081, the board removed $344,390 in revenue that is usually given to the counties for the state backfill on the commercial and industrial rollback. If the legislators should decide to defund that back bill, it could increase taxes 22 cents per thousand. Or it could cause the board to make budget cuts equivalent to that amount. But on a lighter side, the Dewey Buyer Trust created a 3-cent reduction in the tax levy. There's over $133.4 million in TIF increment value. That's over 7% of the county's value is going to the cities for TIF. Burlington's estimated TIF revenue is $2.4 million. West Burlington's is $1.378 million. Minneapolis has a small rebate, and it's going to generate about $60,000 next year. This accounts for a loss of revenue to the county of $735,000. TIF increment is $12,028,599 higher than the average of counties our size. This causes our levy rates to be higher than average due to a higher percentage of our value going for TIF increment to benefit the cities. Our non-TIF value, now get this, is $226,687,366 lower than the average comparable size county. This would generate an additional $793,406 for general basic alone at $3.50. Des Moines County is ranked 16th in the state based on population and 22nd in the state based on value. There are over 19,000 acres or 30 square miles of non-taxable federal land in the Iowa Army Ammunition Plant. Public safety and legal services consists of our sheriff's department, attorney, jail,
emergency management, court support, and juvenile detention. The current budget is just over $7 million. Next year, it's going to be $7.7 million. That's a 9.52% increase. Public health and social services consists of our local health department, general relief, county portion of the DHS expenses, veterans affairs. Current budget's 1.953 million. Next year it'll be 1.920 million. So it has a 1.69% increase, or decrease, I'm sorry. Mental health, patient advocates, and case management. Current budget is 2.2 million. Next year it will be 1.874. That's a decrease of 16.31%. And that's due to the fact that we no longer have our case managers. County environment and education, that's weed eradication, solid waste disposal, conservation, land use, the libraries, and the fair. Current budget is just over 2 million. Next year's budget's just over 2 million. It has a 0.31% increase. Roads and transportation, that's secondary roads in the airport. Current budget is 5.862 million. It's gonna go up to 6.125 million. So that's a 4.48% increase. Government services is the auditor's portion, the election portion of the auditor's budget. Township officials, the treasurer's motor vehicle, registrations and licensing department, and the recorder's office. Current budget is 1.11 million, and next year it's gonna be 1.10. That is a 0.02% increase, or decrease. Administration is the other portion of the auditor's budget, non-departmental, the treasurer's tax side, maintenance, IT, GIS, liability insurance, unemployment compensation. Current budget is 3.2 million. Next year it'll be 3.3 million. That's a 3.16% increase. Debt service, that's our bond repayment. Current budget's 3.3 million. It's going up to 4.4 million next year. That's a 33% increase. Capital projects, that's roadway construction, conservation, and buildings. Current budget is 4.5 million. It's going up to 9.8 million. That's due to the Highway 99 bridge project, which is estimated at 5.4 million. So, budget highlights are health insurance increase of 12.8%, salary increases of 2.25%. We added 3 full-time employees and 1 part-time employee to the jail staff. Increased housing of prisoners, $207,500. Removed the rollback replacement revenue of $344,390. And eliminated the mental health levy due to the state requirement of a 20% ending fund balance by 2020. Now that is still being discussed and possibly changed, but that's what we have right now. 15 cents of that mental health levy went to the general basic levy to help offset the additional costs, and the remainder was added to debt service to set up a repayment for the Highway 99 bridge and the increase in our line of credit. So this is a list of the secondary roads construction projects that are earmarked for next year. These are subject to change. I'm not gonna read them to you, so. The line of credit bond funds are health insurance, which is approximately $2.9 million. That's the general supplemental portion of our health insurance. It's also going to pay for 5 vehicles, a trailer, 2 car computers, 2 radios, hardware and software, video system for the sheriff's vehicles, and some capital projects for our buildings. This short-term bond is paid off before the end of every fiscal year. So part of the budget process is to ensure that we have enough ending fund balance, you know, to carry forward for the next 3 months of the new year. on this slide, I want you to know that fiscal year 18 and 19 are just estimates. We don't have actual numbers, of course. And rural services is going to have an estimated 31% in need fund balance. General supplemental will have a 24% ending fund balance, and general basic, we're estimating a 15% ending fund balance. Fiscal year 17 ended up with a 7.77% decrease from the previous year. Generally, we end up the year with more because we budget on for the worst case scenario on the expenditure side. And we're very conservative on the revenue side. It's hard to tell what's actually going to come in. So just to give you an example, in fiscal year 17, we budgeted that we would end up with $1.8 million. Instead, we ended up with almost $2.6 million. So we gained $778,892. There's general supplemental. So general supplemental has a 24% ending fund balance for next year. So nice and healthy. So we ended fiscal year 17 with $14.2 million in ending fund balance, which is very strong. We had over $5.6 million in general basic, in general funds, I'm sorry, $2.6 million in mental health and almost $5 million in secondary roads. We will be spending some of that money down this next year. The levy rates are virtually unchanged. Property taxes are going to show an increase of 4.7% or $620,035. How does all this impact the taxpayers? Now, this is just the county's portion of their tax bill. But because of the rollback, residential and ag dwellings should see a decrease in their county portion of their tax bill. Ag land and ag buildings is going to see a sizable increase. And commercial and industrial will remain virtually unchanged. Now, due to the equalization order, this doesn't show the 9% increase in commercial that is applied to the 100% value before the rollback's applied. So I just did a rough calculation, but on a $100,000 property, that property will now be valued at $109,000. And then a 90% rollback applied in the urban area, that's going to be about an increase of $60. And in the rural area, it would be an increase of about $90. And that's all. That all comes from the state. There's nothing we can do to change that. So this shows a breakdown of how much of the tax bill goes to different entities that levy. These are based on the current year levy rates because we don't have all the levy rates in yet for next year. So that 18% that the county's going to get somebody's tax bill pays for all those departments that are on that list that's handed out to you. I'm not going to read them all to you. And this is if you're in Burlington City and Burlington School. So it's a little different for each city and school. Middletown and Burlington, the county gets about 20% of the tax bill. Minneapolis county's getting about 23%. Danville is 21%. West Burlington is 23%. This slide shows that in a rural residential property valued at $300,000, annual taxes would be about $4,500. Out of that $4,500, secondary roads is going to get about $529 of that money. So, you know, it's a very small portion of the tax bill to take care of all the roads that are out there in the county. This is based on Burlington, City Burlington School. We get about 18% of the tax bill in the City of Burlington. So out of a $4,602 tax bill, we're seeing about $828 of that. So I want to thank you all for coming today. I do have a little bit more to say, so don't leave yet.
Historically, Des Moines County ends up with larger than expected ending fund balances, and a good part of that is due to the return of budgeted but unspent funds from almost every department. The return of those unspent funds is a tribute to the efforts and management skills of the individual department head, and is very much appreciated not only by the board but by Des Moines County taxpayers. And those department heads deserve a very public thank you.
So fiscal year 17 ended up with strong fund balances, but it wasn't long into the budget process that we realized that expenditures were up, revenues were down, and especially with the health insurance increase. The board directed funds to the jail due to the increased population and the safety concerns. There are several road projects earmarked for next year, as well as bike trail construction through Starscape. There's a pre-levy set to start paying off a bond for the new bridge on Highway 99. The mental health levy was diverted to other funds in order to meet that 20% proposed spend down by the state. And the commercial and industrial rollback replacement revenue was removed from the budget due to Senate File 2081, which proposes to eliminate that back bill over 3 years. That's a $29 million loss to the counties in Iowa. So you guys need to write your legislators. That's a lot of money. And $344,000 of this budget is a big chunk of change. So that's all I have. Thank you all for all your hard work.
Do we have any public comment?
Thank you, Cheryl.
Grace is my middle name.
Is there any public comments on the budget?
Motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
Terry?
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Motion to approve the budget.
Excuse me?
Motion to approve the budget. Oh, second. I didn't hear you.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Okay, we have payroll claims, reimbursements, and total amount $324.73.
Motion to approve.
Second. Okay. Terry?
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Okay, we have the approval of the Iowa DOT agreement for the use of local agency roads. Mr. Carter, you want to address this?
Yeah, if this looks familiar to you or similar to the document you approved last week, that's because it's identical, except for it's a different route. Apparently, the DOT Office of Bridges and Structures didn't like a couple of our bridges for their detour route. So they ended up coming back, and I had already recommended to them to use Pleasant Grove Road previously, and they wanted to use Mediapolis Road, so that's what it was on the previous one. This one is the same route, except for it uses Pleasant Grove Road. So, same difference, different language. It's kind of a technicality with the DOT, but we'll approve it, sign it. I have to send the original back to the DOT, Terry, so I'll leave you a copy, and then they'll eventually send us an executed copy back. So.
Does it have to be in blue?
I don't think it's going to matter either way.
Motion to approve.
Second. Terry?
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Got an engineer's report on the bid results of the Iowa City Road Grading Project.
So as you guys are aware, we bid the Iowa City Road Grading Project last week. This is just a report of bids. This is not contract paperwork or anything that you need to approve. We'll work on getting contracts signed and everything else. We were anticipating good competition. Dirt jobs are always a difficult one for a bid. You're just never sure, but we did get good competition. We had four bidders. We were pretty happy. Our engineer's estimate was $1.4 million, and we leaned pretty heavy on some of the anticipated costs relating to the DOT's project. I wouldn't say we used their exact dollar amounts, but because this is a much smaller project than the DOT's project. But the four-lane project north of town I'm referring to. But anyway, Phi Excavating was the low bidder of four bidders, and their bid was $987,482.39. So we have gone through, verified everything, and as you can see, the other three bidders are listed on there at the bottom. So, you know, three bids were underneath their engineer's estimate, and then one contractor went high, I think. $1.8 million was the high bid. So, but anyway, I will eventually bring contracts to the board. And I don't see, I talked to somebody with Phi, and they don't expect to start on this project till sometime maybe June. So we'll know close when we get there, and I'll send some letters out to the residents now that we have some direction. But just wanted to give you an update on that. If anybody else wants a bid tab, I have a few extras with me.
Good news.
Yeah.
They don't have far to move that equipment either, so that makes a difference.
It's right in their backyard, and yeah. You know, they're a good local contractor. We're happy to work with them, so.
Would have thought Ames would have put a call.
Ames did not bid. I don't know. I mean, that's a very, very large DOT project, and that might have been, you know, that might be their capacity. They might not be looking for anything else, so. They did have a set of plans, but they never spoke to us and never had any questions, so.
Well, I thought, yeah, 61 is kind of strange that they put that all out in one bid, I think.
They changed directions a couple times on that. They were originally talking about doing two bids, and you're right, they did end up putting it out in one, and I think it could have gone either way, but that's how they did it. I don't know what their logic was. So.
But Moyna, I can't believe Moyna come down for a mile or mile, 2 mile.
Well, I think it just shows you that they need the work. They were one of the bidders on the DOT project also.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to personnel actions. We have one for local health. Angie Rowe's resignation. Effective date was 3/14/2018.
Motion to approve.
Second. Terry.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Probably got to stamp one of those.
We have two of them for the correctional center. Dakota Day, resignation, correctional officer, full time, effective date March the 22nd. And the second one is Kunis Ewing, correctional officer, resignation, part time, effective date March the 9th, 2018. That's one of them that we just hired last week.
Yeah, she did get 4 hours in.
I'm not going to go to work for you.
she got offered a full-time job somewhere.
Well, so. I hope she enjoys it, yeah. What's your wishes, gentlemen?
A lot of effort went into that 4 hours, though.
Yeah.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Okay, we have the reports for the recorder's report, fees collected, the clerk's report, fees reflected, and general assistance, the monthly report. These will be on file in the auditor's office for your viewing. At your own discretion. We have the minutes for the regular meeting on March the 6th, 2018.
Moved to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Is there any other business? Future agenda items? Committee reports.
I have none.
Don't either.
I don't either.
Okay. Time for public input session number two. Anybody from the public have anything to say? Please rise, state your name.
Richard Beavis, 10824 Mill Dam Road, and I'd like to talk about 99 bridge replacement. I think there's a better option than what we're looking at. We're putting a bridge back where it shouldn't be, and we should look at straightening the creek out. When you think that creek, within a half mile, it runs south, it runs east, runs west, it runs south, runs east, runs north, runs south, runs east in a half mile. And I think we should approach this even if we have to postpone it a year and see if we couldn't get the Corps engineers and change the DNR's mind.
Yeah, I think our county engineer has been in contact with the DNR on that, and it's a natural flow of water, and we address that problem. You know, as you cross the bridge, it's kind of washing out within, what, 50 yards of Highway 99, and it's just going to continue washing, but their stance on it is no.
Well,
and I think Brian's already addressed that problem.
Maybe they haven't put enough pressure on them. The DNR has bosses too, and so maybe we should go to our representative, the governor, Grassley, because I talked to the Corps, and I think the Corps has more to say about it than the DNR because of the proximity to the river.
And it is getting pretty close to your property right there on that.
Well,
on that end.
Where the creek is at on my property, it's going to have to stay there because that's drained. But that would become a lake, is what it would be. And I think the DNR, if that was presented to them, would realize that that would be more beneficial to have that waterway filled with water about 8 foot deep than 6 inches of water. And the Corps doesn't consider Flint Creek as sustaining aquatic life anymore. And I just wonder if we could maybe hold up on it long enough to put more pressure on them. And I have a little drawing that I made up.
You leave that for us and we can look at it. Brian, have you got anything to address this with?
I actually, on the first part of Richard said, I agree with him. I think everybody knows that. I think way back when we started talking about this, I agree with what he said. I thought it was a great idea to kind of connect point A and B, and he's right. If you look at the aerial, he gave a verbal description of it. It's a lot easier to look at an aerial. It meanders all over the place, but there's a couple pretty big horseshoe bends, and if you could connect between them and make that straighten out, it is true. I actually met with the head of the DNR a number of years ago. I don't know about a number of years ago, but a while back, at the very early stages of this process, and a couple other folks, and with our consultant all in the same time at the DNR and their offices. And it does, permitting process-wise, it does require both the DNR and the Corps. It's not one or the other. They do rely on each other, but they do both have to play that game. And I can't speak to the Corps. We were told flat out no at that meeting. That was the end result. That is the specific reason we had the meeting that we had, was to address exactly what he's bringing up. I think from a common sense standpoint, it made a lot of sense. I will mention, it did add a lot of cost to the project. It wouldn't shorten the bridge or anything like that. You'd still have to accommodate the same water flow and stuff like that, but perhaps we'd be able to, you know, maybe even doing all that, it'd mitigate some of the flooding that's seen elsewhere and stuff like that. But in the world of environmental permits, I'm not sure that they're as concerned about the impacts to other people as they're concerned to the what they refer to as the floodways and floodplains and the species and all those different things. And that's some of that's deeper than I can go to because I don't handle permitting. We just apply. And I think maybe some of the regulatory stuff has gotten a little easier, but you still have to have permits and to receive those. I have, I guess, no issue initiating a phone call again with the DNR to make sure the answers are still the same. And I suppose if we were to get a completely different answer, then if we thought there was a better way to do it, then certainly we could change course. But we did pursue it. We were told no in no uncertain terms. I didn't, like I said, I haven't talked to the Corps, but the next issue, it goes beyond just relocating the bridge. Then you get into, you're creating a new channel. So you're excavating a new channel. So you're disturbing what is considered wetlands, or actually even higher level is called a floodway Greensboro, and so you're into a significant change in your mitigation situations, because whether they allow you to do it or not doesn't get you out of environmental mitigation. So there's other, certainly other dynamics and again, extra costs also. But fundamentally, I agree with exactly what he's saying. And bluntly, if that conversation back then had been different, that'd be what our plans would look like right now, is we'd probably be putting it just south of Tamer Road. If you draw a line across there, that's about where it crosses. So I don't have an issue with looking into it, but I would be the last one right now to issue any promises. That's the fortune that we would have.
Well, if it was done, I don't know, are you planning on raising 99 also?
That was another conversation that they were not very fond of.
Well, I'm not either, because that would raise the water on my property.
That's exactly the point. If you raise Highway 99, and that's part of the whole hydraulic modeling part of it, because if you make that major of a change down there, even moving the bridge, you still have to go through the hydraulic modeling, because they want to see, honestly, they don't, bluntly, if you get down to that level, they don't, again, care about the names on the properties and everything else. They want to see a zero increase in the hydraulic, the water level.
If the bridge is moved north, the road wouldn't have to be closed for 11 or 12 months. You could take and where you excavate the channel for the creek, make a bypass road just north of the bridge you're going to replace over to Tama, and then you could build your bridge, put the water lines up on it and everything you want to do, and then the road would only have to be closed for about a month while you took out the old bridge and filled that area in.
Well, I will tell you that when you start putting dirt down in there, you probably have a harder time with the latter part of that than you would with the front end of that. They're not big fans of putting fill in areas that they consider to be...
Well, you take it out again.
Yeah,
You just use it for the bypass road, and then you take it out and use it for where you remove the bridge.
And if it were, it certainly would change the dynamics significantly.
It would be a project, you're going to spend $6 million and you're just replacing a bridge. And we could probably spend maybe $8 million and you could alter the creek course. It'd be better. Common sense tells you it should be done. That's what that lady said at the Corps of Engineers. She said, common sense, because she was looking at this on her computer, she said, common sense says that ought to be done. She said, but regulations are bad. And I said, whenever regulations outweigh common sense, we're in trouble.
Well, we're in trouble, though, aren't you?
We are. That's right.
When
common sense says something ought to be done, regulations ought to be
I would mention
bypassed.
That more than one time, especially when you get down into that river bottom and you get near levees and stuff, that I've had Corps offices say completely different things and actually hold up a project in the past, because they were arguing over various points. So I'm not surprised that somebody at the Corps said that, but unfortunately I'm guessing she's not the one that's going to issue any permits.
I'll tell you how backwards we are, or how we've changed. When the old red bridge was there, do you remember that one?
I don't,
the
but
steel
I know what you're
bridge.
Talking about.
A Corps of Engineers and the county engineer, I don't remember which one it was, stood on that bridge, and the Corps man said, this creek needs to be straightened. And now the Corps says, well, you have to go through all this red tape to get it straightened. So,
yeah,
but common sense, if you looked at it, it ought to be straight.
I agree with him on that. One other thing to mention, there is one other dynamic, if it ever would have gone there, that we were going to have to figure out, was the property on the east side, on the southeast corner of Tama 99, is, I believe, FEMA buyout property. And when the counties, no, belongs to the county.
Yeah.
But when FEMA buyout property occurs, and that was from 93, not recently. So I have not researched it, but when you do FEMA buyout property, typically there is an extremely long list of very small type regulations and restrictions and limitations and everything else on what can be done. We experienced that after 08 with those properties. And I don't know that would be a hindrance, but if you really want to keep going down the step of this conversation, we never even check to see if that hurdle could be crossed, because then you you bring in FEMA as to whether it was an approved use to cross that problem.
Well, I think this would warrant further investigation and maybe a little more pressure put on people.
Well, the problem with pressure on the DNR is the DNR doesn't answer to anybody but the DNR. You can bring the government in all you want, but the fact is the DNR actually is the only entity in the state that gets to make their own rules. It doesn't have to care whether the legislature likes it or not.
Where do they get their money
from? You know, unfortunately, I fight those battles. So, but I can call the DNR and have a conversation. So.
Well, I think we ought to get them down here and look at this. I mean, you know, I have a meeting with and get Mr. Grassley in on it too. And he can talk to the Corps. And I know the Corps will listen to the political end of it. I've been through that.
Okay. Well, Brian said he's going to call the DNR and see where we go from there.
Why don't we set up a meeting and see if we can actually have it done? Anybody that would look at that would say, you know, let's straighten. Because all of us in this room will never see the chance again in a lifetime. If we put the bridge back where it is now, we'll never see the chance to straighten that creek again.
I know Brian's been after him, you know, about it. And so make that other phone call. We're going to Des Moines tomorrow. We could say something to Mr. Green and Mr. Calhoun and some of them.
I think that's the route to go.
See if they can't take it up the ladder.
Like I say, it'll never happen in any of our lifetimes if we don't do it now.
Well, I'm just kind of worried if they don't get the bridge in, I might not see it in my lifetime.
And if you could put the bypass road in, just think of the emergency vehicles not having access for a year up along Cable Beach and that. I mean, the route they'd have to travel.
Brian, are working drawings in progress?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, time would be of the essence, and like I said, way back at the beginning of this, I still agree with what Richard's saying. But in the end, in the transportation world, we've got to have the environmental clearances to make it all happen. So if we can chase it and make something happen, it's, you know, then there'd be a decision as whether we walk away from the money we've already spent to do something different. It perhaps that option. I'm just simply not optimistic, but that's because I've spent a long time losing battles or losing arguments or losing stuff with the various regulatory agencies. Well, so
you have to have an archaeology survey done of that, then that's going to take a couple of years, as slow as they are.
So I don't, we can, like I said, I can certainly talk to the DNR and see, and if they're, you know, we can set a meeting, or if I think it's going to be productive, I have no issue with it. But if, because there has been effort, just so you know, I mean, there certainly absolutely was effort to do exactly what
he
said.
Did you explain to them that you'd build another lake that would be 80 feet wide and
actually, yeah,
2,000 feet long?
Subject came up as that'd be, additional, you know, overflow and stuff like that, and
that would be more beneficial than what the creek is right now for aquatic life, because I've lived on that for almost 60 years within 150 feet of it, and I swim in it when I was a kid, and right now four people could eat all the fish on Friday night that you cut out of that creek. I mean, there's just nothing there. No muskrats, there's no life like that in that creek. I haven't seen a muskrat in that creek in 15 years. And that's what I think, if we'd pressure them and explain to them some of the benefits.
Have you sent a letter to your senators or?
No, I haven't. I've been busy on other stuff.
That might be a good thing for you to do too, while Brian's, you know, as a property owner in the area.
Like I say, the creek bed where it goes through my property has to stay there, because it's drainage of our property and off the bluff.
Yeah.
But if we build that lake like I'm talking about, it is spring fed. I mean, it wouldn't be stagnant water. It has springs running into it from down by my grandson's house and my son's house. And big springs, golf course. So it'd be a good project. And I'd sure like to see a effort. I wouldn't mind being in on it.
Well, I'll definitely get hold of a couple people tomorrow when we're in Des Moines, the Capitol Day tomorrow for the county, so see what they've got to say. Maybe they've got more praise. They've got more praise than what we've got, so.
Not much.
No.
Not with they are.
But anyway, it's a start.
I think even if it had to be postponed 1 year, it'd be worth it. Because, like they say, this is one chance in a lifetime. It just could happen.
We tried to, with their own projects, try to get through Big Hollow, for Stars Cave, with bike trails instead of going out on the road. They would have preferred we went out on the road. We tried everything we could, and we took Senator Courtney with us. He didn't have any effect.
Yeah.
It was, then finally, something changed. Christmas come along and he got it all changed. But anyway, it happened and we jumped on it. But we all agree with you. Makes sense.
Well, let's see if we can make it happen.
Well, we've tried. We keep trying. Keep trying. We have tried.
Thank you now.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else have anything to say on that? Public input station number two. Seeing nobody rise, she'll move for adjournment.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Good work session.
We have a work session here in about 10 minutes with the board supervisor, county engineer.
Question.
Road tour.
Hey, Richard. Thanks.